You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the Westside Community News, and today we're diving into Pacers free agency day two now, day two and a half. It started on June 30th, whatever. Day two of Pacers free agency, specifically the big move the Pacers made. They succeeded and overcame some odds. Jalen Smith, the 22-year-old center, will return to the Pacers per several outlets now, but originally reported by Shams Charania of The Athletic. We'll break down what that means, how it happened, what it could mean for some Pacers stuff in the front court, and then we'll pivot to in a third segment here, just some general free agency news and news updates for this Pacers team because Summer League stuff has started. So we've been able to talk to some players and coaches on the team in recent days, but that is secondary to the big news that is Jalen Smith will return to the Pacers. Huge upset to me that they were able to pull this off, right? I did not think this was going to be possible, although a lot kind of broke their way for this to happen. So to recap the situation, the Suns, over a year ago, declined a team option in Jalen Smith's contract for the upcoming season that's about to happen. And then they traded him while he was on his old contract to the Pacers. So the Pacers were bound by the team option decision that the Suns made. And because the team option that was declined was on a rookie scale contract, that meant a lot of hurdles there, that the Pacers could not pay Jalen Smith more than $4.67 million this coming season. And in my head, a lot of teams would be willing to offer him more than that. Not because he's been good his whole career. He really struggled, actually, in Phoenix his first year and for most of his second year, although he did have a nice burst with Phoenix in late December of last year. But he took off so much with the Pacers, and he's a former top 10 pick, still only age 22. It's so rare that a guy that young, who's had that many flashes, because if you count his six-game stretch at the end of last December in his Pacers time, that's a 30-game stretch of, like, really quality play. And that's not a lot, but he only played 78 games his whole career. That's nearly that's over a third of his time playing. You could say, hey, this guy looks pretty good. Like, you'd think a lot of teams would take a stab at that. So I don't think he's worth a ton or anything, but I thought he'd get more than $4.67 million. That's why I thought the Pacers would be unable to do this. I wrote that it'd be challenging for them. I did podcasts saying I would not expect it to happen, but things broke perfectly for the Pacers. Here's how it shook out. I said two things needed to happen for this to be possible for the Pacers a while ago. One of them was the draft had to go well for them in that teams with cap space or teams that are trying to get younger, so your Detroits, your OKCs, your Orlandos, those kind of teams, all pick centers or have their center situation become more obvious. And the Mo Bamba went back to the Magic. That was a free agency thing. And Chet Holmgren went to the Thunder. And Jalen Duren went to Detroit. And so those teams suddenly don't need a young big as much, right? Marvin Bagley also went back to Detroit, for example. The Thunder have other young centers already on their team. So if you're the Pacers and Jalen Smith, you're thinking, okay, there's a few less choices for him from a development standpoint. Because something Jalen Smith said was, I'm going to go somewhere where the best fit and opportunity is for me. And those are some fit and opportunity places that are gone. The other hurdle was money. And even though those teams now had centers, every team in the league has their MLE they could offer Jalen Smith, and that's worth more than what the Pacers would be willing to offer. But fortunately for the Pacers, right as free agency starts, Philly uses their MLE, Golden State, both Los Angeleses, Sacramento, Chicago, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Dallas, I'm sure there's more, Miami, Washington, Denver, Minnesota, Portland. Again, I'm sure there's more, but that's just my tracking list for this stuff. All use their MLEs on someone else, not named Jalen Smith. So suddenly, the places where Jalen Smith can go get a bigger opportunity are gone. The places where he can go get more money are gone. And so the Pacers may not be the number one best money fit left for him, but they are the best combination of money and fit at this stage of free agency. And that's why the Pacers were able to get this done, despite having the hurdles of only being able him to offer $4.67 million this coming season. So they pull it off. Shams Charania reports it's a two-year deal, which makes the most sense. My guess was if the Pacers pulled it off, their best offer would have been a two-year deal with a player option. The reporting from basically everybody who has money details is something between $9.57 and $9.71 million, and that is a big distinction. I don't want to get too cap dorky here, But for the Pacers to, if they had used early bird rights to sign Jalen Smith, which they would have technically been allowed to do, they would have been able to give him an 8% raise on the $4.67 million he's making this coming season. And if that happened, his total contract value would be 2 years, $9.71 million. But if that is the case, and that's how the Pacers structured it, there cannot be a player option in this contract, which would be stunning to me that Jalen Smith got 2 years guaranteed with no player option. But if they use non-bird rights to sign him instead of early bird rights, then Jalen Smith can only get a 5% raise. Then the total value of his contract would be 2 years, $9.57 million. So only a little over $100,000-ish less, $140,000 less, but he could have a player option in that case. So to me, like, if you're his agent, you have to know the money and opportunity situations as a young player. You would almost guarantee want the player option. So if they can negotiate it in, I'm sure they got it. So my guess is, just from knowing the cap rules and knowing the situation the Pacers were facing in this free agency period, my guess is this is a 2 year deal for Jalen Smith with a total of $9.57 million on the deal if he opts in, but he can opt out next season. I'm guessing there will be a player option in this contract, and the Pacers sign him using non-bird rights and will have to cut his cap hold to make this happen. That is just a guess. That has not been reported yet. People have been asking me. I have tried. I have reached out to numerous people, but it is hard times to find information these days. Everybody who would know is very busy trying to make their clients money or make their teams better. So anywho, that is the situation with Jalen Smith. And it sounds really dumb because a lot of outlets report these deals to one decimal point. So just a rounding error makes $9.7 million and $9.6 million look almost the same. But that's a really, really big distinction in what Jalen Smith's deal is. So once it comes out, if there's an option, if there's not, I will detail that and explain it in the best terms that I can. But as of now, that is unknown. It's just a two-year deal worth just shy of $10 million, basically, is how I would tell people what I know right now. So again, huge win for the Pacers to get him, and that's a big-time thing to have. But the other hurdle I will talk about with the contract is, because of his rookie scale deal, the Pacers cannot pay Jalen Smith more than $5.95 million next summer. So they will be having these same discussions that were had this offseason about his contract rolls again next summer if he has another good season and opts out, if there's a player option in there, right? There is another limit the Pacers have to deal with. Only one more time, but they got the first one done. They have to clear one more if they want to keep him longer than just one season. So it's $5.95 million next year. So maybe the ideal situation is he has like a decent year but not a good year, and they can get him at that number and have him still continue to grow, because now with Smith and Nesmith and Halliburton, beyond the other young guys the Pacers have, but the Pacers have three guys from the late lottery of that 2020 draft that they can all kind of grow on the same timeline. And if they're able to keep Smith for many years, even with contract restrictions, that would be very nice for this. And, you know, it was pretty interesting to hear Jalen Smith talk about fit and opportunity being so important for him last offseason, because, you know, Rick Carlisle said that he loves Jalen Smith. He said that straight up. When we were talking to him last week, but he knew it would be challenging to keep him. They were really hoping they could, but they pulled it off, right? And so Rick was happy with that. We got to go to summer league practice today and talk to Dwayne Washington, Ronald Norred, and Kendall Brown, the rookie. And Kendall Brown never played with Jalen Smith. But we asked Dwayne, we're not allowed to ask straight up, like, what do you think of the signing of blank? It's the moratorium. These aren't official yet. They're not allowed to talk about it. But what I said to Dwayne was, hey, what did you think of playing with Jalen last year, and how did you feel about having him as a teammate? And Dwayne kind of knew what I was asking, so he said, I'm super excited just to be able to keep a guy like that around. It's going to be great for us. He wants to be around. He wants to build with what we've got going. The exact attitude the Pacers need, because now they're at about 12 players on their roster who are 25 and under. Out of 17 maximum when the season starts, 12 as of right now are 25 or under. They're clearly looking for youth and getting younger, and keeping a good player like Jalen Smith on that contract, a great, great free agency move for the Pacers, because that was a tough one for them to pull off. So let's move on and talk about the front court that the Pacers now have with Jalen Smith in the fold, because opportunity is a big thing for him. Presumably that means he's going to be playing in the Pacers rotation next year. Before we do that though, really quickly, I want to talk to you guys about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball, all over at betonline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And betonline.net is the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. You go on their homepage, all that info is right there. You click their odds tab, boom, you can see all these games coming up, and whatever sport you pick. They've got the Colts opening night game against the Texans up there already, if you want to check that out. And they're the fastest, easiest way to check in on all that. They've also got MMA, boxing, and golf. So head over to the website today to learn more about the trends and the action over at betonline.net, because BetOnline is where the game starts. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today, and of course, every single day. For your second listen, why not hop on over to Locked On Bulls? Hear the Bulls guys talk about Zach LaVine getting that Supermax money, or Locked On, or not Supermax, Max money, or to Locked On Pelicans, to hear Jake Madison and the Pelicans guys talk about Zion Williamson getting that Supermax money from New Orleans. What a turn that franchise has been through. To lock up Zion is huge for the Pelicans. Jake Madison will have it all for you. So back on the Pacers here, Jalen Smith back with the team. Huge signing. Pacers absolutely had to do it. They're getting a roster crunch, though. They're over 20 guys, including the Exhibit 10 guys. They will eventually sign to deals. So they've got to make some moves still. I'll probably talk more specifically about that stuff on Monday's show or Sunday, whatever day you're listening. I'm doing a show every day now, so it's hard to explain what day it is. But, and the 4th of July is coming up. Moves will be made, and with Smith in the fold, along with Daniel Theis, is on the Pacers now, or he will be when this... He only takes a brief stop through Indiana, but through this Brogdon trade, Theis is a name that is in the Pacers' orbit, ecosystem, whatever you want to use to discuss how the Pacers' roster looks right now as all these players are swapped around. They have a lot of front court guys all of a sudden, right? There's Miles Turner, obviously. You know, everybody knows about him being around. Isaiah Jackson's in the mix. O'Shea Brissett, obviously. Goga Bitadze still on the team. Terry Taylor. Daniel Theis. I'm sure I'm missing someone. But there are, in fact, a lot of front court players on this Pacers team now for next season. That's not even like just looking at last season. That's for next season. So there are, you know, none of those guys can play on the wing, unfortunately, except for Brissett a tiny bit. That's a lot of like bigger four and five types. And that's not bad. Those are all good players and they're young and they fit what the Pacers are trying to do, except for one of those guys. One of those guys is older. So it makes sense why they have all of them. It's just that's a lot of names. You usually only play three or four guys in those spots in a given game. So for Jalen Smith to come back to the Pacers on this deal, and when he mentioned in April at his ex interview, a big thing for me in free agency is going to be fit and opportunity. Well, he was asked if those would be a big thing, and he said, yeah, absolutely. You know, mentioning those will be a big thing, I would think, and I would imagine the Pacers know this, and I imagine Jalen Smith and his agency knows this, that they, part of with the Pacers, the discussion was, what is my role going to be? Where do you see me playing with this team? And if they said, you know, well, we'll see, you'll be in the mix for minutes at this spot or this spot, he wouldn't have agreed to a deal. To me, that is an outsider's perspective. I don't know that. I don't have that reported. But that just seems like the logical follow-up from where Jalen Smith was to where this is now. So, obviously, they can't play all those guys anyway. But now that Jalen Smith is in the mix, there is quite the logjam in the Pacers' front court. And I imagine that Smith is going to be one of the guys playing. And if you look through those names again, if Turner's still on the Pacers on opening night, he will definitely be playing. And Isaiah Jackson and Brissett seem like guys who are definitely playing. So Goga's on the outside, potentially looking in. Terry Taylor may be on the outside looking in. And depending on where Turner is, Smith might have to balance playing four and five to be the fourth guy of those guys in the rotation for sure. Now, if Miles is moved, and I think that re-signing Smith and Theis coming in, you know, neither of those things individually would have made me think that a Miles move is more likely. But I think now, with two other centers in the orbit ecosystem, again, I'm going to keep using those words way too often on the show, means I think there's a slight more chance Turner could be moved in this free agency period. Again, I don't know that. It's just reading between the lines of what's gone on and stuff like that. But all this to say, between those guys, maybe five can play if Brissett plays the three ever so slightly. But it's going to be hard for them to get the right rotation set. And to wrap that up, I think a trade is somewhat likely amongst the Pacers front court player. Maybe it's something boring. Maybe it's something bigger. But it seems like something is coming in terms of how that gets swapped out. So the obvious one to me, given the age of these guys, where the Pacers are headed, what they need, is a Daniel Theis move. And it's impossible to say right now what the structure of that Boston-Indiana trade will be, because that is important to what can happen here. But if Theis comes in to a trade exception or package with a bunch of other guys, he cannot be re-aggregated with other salaries right away. He can only be traded off by himself for 90 days, which would basically take you up to training camp, really through training camp before it could become official. 90 days is 3 months. Anyway, so that would be tougher to trade him besides by himself, and that's possible. There's a lot of guys in the range of what he could be traded for, but he seems like the most natural trade, even if it'd be something boring like him for an injured four or a less good. There's a lot of ways it could go. Maybe a contending team wants him and sends the Pacers a second round pick and some crappy player. That's one way to do it. Another way would be a Goga trade. Even though he has shown some growth the last couple seasons, it seems like Isaiah Jackson and Jalen Smith and O'Shea Brissett and Miles Turner would be the four guys the Pacers would pick to play. Of the guys they have on their team, if they trade Turner, maybe they want to play some Terry Taylor. Maybe they play Goga. I think they should have Goga over Terry Taylor in their rotation. I'd even think about playing him over Isaiah for a little bit this season. Regardless of how you feel about that, Goga could be dealt to me because he's coming into the last year of his deal. So he's up for a payday. You know, the Pacers have this logjam. They have Smith and Jackson at the five if they move on from him and Turner anyways. He could be a guy that makes sense. And he's definitely, as an ex-first-round pick, as an ex-top 20 pick, right? And a guy who's shown some flashes, not as a starter-level guy, but as a rotation guy, he probably is a small positive asset. So it seems like they could get something for him. I doubt it would be anyone in the Pacers' rotation necessarily, but it could be something they could use beneficial to them in a different way. He seems like a guy that could be dealt. Obviously, Tice. And then the other one that I just said, I'm leaning a little bit more towards this, is a Turner move, right? And I don't know that, you know, he got hurt at the end of last season, so who knows what his value is right now and things like that. I don't know what a Turner trade looks like, especially now that we're 48 hours, 60 hours into free agency, whenever you consider it started. It really started a long time ago, but officially started. That seems more plausible to me with Smith in the fold, that they could at least sniff around on Turner's value a little harder, knowing that, okay, if we trade him, we still have Isaiah Jackson, we still have O'Shea Brissett, we still have Goga, we have Jalen Smith, we've got a quality young core on the interior. We don't have to worry as much about what we're going to do at the five next season. We've got these guys. All those guys are inconsistent, they're young, they have their holes. They're much, much, much worse players than Miles Turner. And I think Miles Turner would fit very well with the new brand of Pacers basketball. But just looking at what the Pacers team is and how things are headed, you know, that he could be a guy that is moved. I think the most likely one would be a Tice trade. The second most likely would be a Goga trade. The third most likely would be a Turner trade. But I do think that a deal involving one of those guys seems somewhat likely given how crowded the Pacers front court is. And that's not even counting that they just got Juwan Morgan from the Celtics in this Brogdon deal. I mean, they can't play him at all, and he's on a minimum deal. They could siphon him to some other team, but there is a logjam there. And if Smith is coming to Indiana, I think something has to happen there, especially because I think the big part of this is a lot of their sales pitch to him had to be on the opportunity and role he can have with this Pacers team. And Jalen Smith, again, he started really hot, so his stats are a little skewed, but he played very well for the Pacers this past season, much better than he did for the Suns. He deserves to have an opportunity to continue to grow in that way. He gels with Carlisle. He gels with the Pacers' timeline. He gels with their system. He fits well with Haliburton. You can go on and on about the reasons he could play well for the Pacers. And he might be worse this coming season, but you'd like to find out by giving him opportunity and minutes in your front court rotation. So I think one move for sure is coming in the Pacers' front court, even if it's something really small, like Tice for a crappy salary or Goga Batadze for a small asset. But I think something has to be coming to kind of sort out the logjam they have. It's pretty funny, the Brogdon trade happened, but before the Brogdon trade, if you knew Smith would be on the team, they would have basically like over half their rosters just ones and fives, the two extremes, and a lot of those guys struggled to play a second position. Now, they'll figure this balance stuff out, and they have to make some cuts anyway to get their roster under 20, which again, I'll talk about probably on the next podcast I do, where I also talk a lot about Ricky Rubio, but you know, I think that the moves will be coming in the front court and bringing back Jalen Smith. I thought that could be the case already. Bringing back Jalen Smith sort of solidifies that. And any moves that happen, you know what covered here on the Locked On Pacers podcast. So let's close out today with some news and notes about the Pacers, both in terms of the free agency front and in terms of just general news. Because, again, we've gotten to talk to Ronald Norred, Dwayne Washington, Kendall Brown, Ben Mathurin, and Chris Duarte now over the last 2 days in the Pacers facility. Really quick, though, before we catch up on all that, let's talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of vehicles, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why do you want to endure the questioning from the guy behind the counter and walk around the store looking for the part that's in the wrong aisle for some reason, and then wait while they order it to their warehouse because they don't have it and carry it at the moment? Then you got to go back and get it. That's all a pain. You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket on your phone, And you can save time and money that way. Why choose to spend more money for the same parts from a chain store or a dealership when you can get it cheaper at rockauto.com, a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are always reliably low. For every customer, they have everything you could need for your vehicle. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go right now and in their How Did You Hear About Us box, right? Locked On sent you when you check out, so they know that you came from us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, it's called Locked On Cavs to hear about their reaction to both Indiana native Darius Garland signing a massive, massive contract with Cleveland and, of course, Ricky Rubio deciding that he would like to go back to the Cavaliers. We will, again, be talking about that probably on the next podcast of this show and a little bit in this segment. Let's run through some Pacers free agency news and just general news updates about the team. The first one relating to the Malcolm Brogdon trade. If you're here for the Brogdon trade and you've made it this far and realize I'm not talking about it, yesterday's podcast is for you. Malcolm Brogdon is going to the Celtics, as you all know, for Malik Fitz, Nick Stauskas, and Juwan Morgan. They are just throw-ins, as well as Aaron Nesmith, the former lottery pick, a 2023 first-round pick, and Daniel Theis. The first-round pick part of that trade, top 12 protected, Brian Robb of Mass Live over in Massachusetts. Got that reported out yesterday. I'm a little surprised it's not like top 8 or top 10 or something like that. Protections in general, I thought it would be lower just because the Celtics are good and Brogdon is good. They'll probably make the playoffs. It doesn't really matter. You know, you're a Tatum injury away from this getting scary, obviously, but they have Brogdon now. They have good players. And I think that, you know, again, I would trust the Celtics to make the postseason next year if I'm the Pacers, especially because, again, they have Brogdon on their team now along with Tatum, Brown, and all the other good players they have. But remember, the Celtics were, they played the Pacers in Indianapolis for their 41st game, and they were 500 at that time. They were 20-20 going into that point, right? So, yes, I think they're very good. They made the finals. I think they'll be very good next year, but they could be a little rockier than I think people are giving them credit for, and you never know what's going to happen with injuries. That's why the Cavs didn't make the playoffs this past season. So obviously not awesome to have that high of protections on it. But again, ideally the Celtics should be fine and that first round pick will come to the Pacers. That's just how it is. Unsurprising, I suppose, given Brogdon's injury history, the Celtics should be great. But there are a lot of context clues important there. Number two on the news for the Pacers front, just taking stock of their roster and cap situation. Jalen Smith returning to the team. Hey, goodbye cap space for the Pacers. Not a lot. It's just the amount that he signs for, $4.67 million. They could still sign him over the cap, use an exception to do so. Even if they're under the cap, in theory, they could use the room exception. But they have to renounce his cap hold if they give him a deal with a player option. They are no longer a maximum salary cap space team after the Jalen Smith signing. There are a million super easy ways that they could still get there to becoming a max space team. As of right now, they are not. About $26 million is their maximum space. Again, I don't think they will spend that much money, but they in theory could. I still think they will remain over the cap and use trade exceptions and their mid-level as their building tools this summer. They may not even need to use the mid-level, but they still have that optionality. They might stay over. They could get pretty far under. They could even get to max space again with another move, like we mentioned in the last segment. All options are still on the table, but that is their current situation. And again, over 20 guys currently in the Pacers' orbit after trading one player for five and bringing back Jalen Smith. They will have to find a way to either consolidate some of these guys in a move or make some painful cuts of that, of some, maybe some even some guaranteed salaries. A lot of options on the table, though, and it's so early in free agency to predict all that. Chris Duarte. Let's talk about Chris Duarte. This is not a free agency thing or a trade thing. Chris Duarte is still dealing with that toe injury that caused him to miss so much time this past season. He was the first player to speak to us at Summer League practice on Friday? Friday, yes. Days are hard for me right now. He missed the Pacers' last 12 games of the season and 13 of their last 14 games with that toe injury. And he was able to participate in what the Pacers were doing in their Summer League ramp-up, but he did say the toe injury is still something that's bugging him and could cause him to, in theory, miss some of the games in Vegas. If you'll recall last year, O'Shea Brissett played in Summer League, was way too good for Summer League, right? He only played in two games and he was out. Duarte was too good for Summer League. He didn't even play in every game for the Pacers last year. I would guess my prediction, based on the way he was talking and what this injury is, he's kind of going to test it, and maybe he plays one game of Summer League, maybe two, but no more than that. There's no reason for him to play more than that. Same with Isaiah Jackson and maybe even Dwayne Washington. Some of these really good players, there's just no point of having them play every game of Summer League. Too much injury risk. Just keep them in a learning environment. Keep them around with the team. Help them guide these new rookies through this sort of stuff. But once it's kind of solidified what their growth looks like and how they've helped your team, sort of all be a package out in Vegas, just sit them down. I think that will be the end for those guys. This is a really talented team, though. Norad even mentioned when I asked him, you know, this is one of the more talented Summer League rosters. I don't think they're maybe the best, but they're one of the best. Duarte may not play every game, but he is practicing in full. I think he's going to be just fine long term. But notable here, the season did end basically 2 months ago. Last thing, I've alluded to it a few times on this show. Ricky Rubio has agreed to a deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I do think this merits a full segment, if not more, on this show. He is the first departing Pacer. Between him, Jalen Smith, Lance Stephenson, the two-way guys, he is the first departing Pacer in free agency. I know a lot of people saw that he agreed to a deal with the Cavs and immediately jumped to tweet at me, "Hey, there it goes, the sign-and-trade idea. You know, that can't happen anymore." I disagree. I do not think that's the case, and I will again talk about this on the next podcast on Locked On Pacers. But if you'll recall last year, Doug McDermott agreed to his 3-for-$42 million deal with the Spurs. Free agency chugs on for a little bit, and then bam, the Pacers and Spurs were able to make that a sign-and-trade, which gave the Pacers a trade exception that they could very well use in the next 6 days, next 5 days, 5 days, in the next 5 days. So I would not rule out a Rubio to Cleveland sign-and-trade just yet, just because he agreed to terms with them. He can still get that same contract with them, even in a sign-and-trade, which is a crucial part of this. So that is just something I wanted to include as a note here at the end. And I will also, I have some Miles Turner thoughts coming on our next show. So next show, we'll do Ricky Rubio, some Miles Turner thoughts, because some centers are getting some big contracts out there, guys. If you've been paying attention, Nurkic, Mitchell Robinson, big money out there. Miles Turner certainly has to have his eyes on what other big men around the NBA are doing. So next show, we will talk about what I just kind of alluded to with Ricky Rubio, what it could mean for the Pacers, what options they have in that scope and field with Cleveland. Miles Turner thoughts, including what has gone on with other centers and what it could mean for his value, and then any other free agency updates I feel are pertinent to the Pacers on the next show. That's the plan right now, but as with everything around free agency, it could all change so quickly. The Pacers could sign someone, they could trade someone, they could do so many things that would completely change the outlook of how these shows are going. So I'm trying to plan them to the best of my ability as this team continues to reshape, but we will see what happens. I'm ultimately at the mercy of NBA news these days. So I hope you all are enjoying your weekend. If you're listening on your weekend, thank you very much. I much appreciate that. 4th of July coming Monday, I'll still put a show out, but I understand if people want to have a fun holiday, be safe, enjoy yourself. We'll be right back here waiting for you with all the latest Pacers news and free agency info as they continue to remake their very, very young roster. If you have any questions for me about cap stuff and free agency stuff, TEastNBA on Twitter right here if you're on YouTube. And this show is at Locked On Pacers on there. I did say if you wanted to see cap info for the Pacers, reach out to me. And a couple people did. I will promise to get you those on Sunday. I apologize, I have not yet. Been very busy, obviously, these last couple days. So thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow.